This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to MIP on 89.3 once again, WPFW-FM Pacifica Radio. Good to be in the nation's capital. Good to be home. Our phone number 202-588-0893. So thankful that you can join us on this glorious Monday morning. We are really, in many respects, less than a week away from a number of activities that are being organized for the 30th, in and around the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March. And we'll be joined, hopefully, in just a few moments by Dr. Marlana Karinga, who actually drafted the original mission statement, and we've been working on an updated mission statement for the Million Man March. What are we about? What are we doing on this commemoration of the Holy Day of Atonement, Reconciliation, and Responsibility? So stay tuned for that. The Reverend Willie F. Wilson of Union Temple Baptist Church is organizing the events in Washington, D.C. solely. Really, no one is solely organizing national events. Different local communities are organizing their own events, and you'll hear more about that even this week. The goal is a unified website with a map where wherever you are in the country, you can click on that map and see where the Million Man March is taking place near you, where it's being commemorated near you. I think that's important. I hope all would agree to renew that spirit and what the march meant and what it accomplished some 30 years ago. So as we await our guests, if you don't mind, I'd like to start this way. And we remind everyone, we're also streaming on social media, Instagram, Minister with Two T's, Make It Plain on Facebook, Make It Plain on X, even though, you know, X, well, I'll leave that alone. I don't know if I could say that. and on YouTube, Make It Plain. And I say that in case our conversation goes beyond the hour we're allotted here on WPFW. But where were you 30 years ago? Were you at the Million Man March? And what are your reflections on it? 202-588-0893. What do you remember about it? What did it mean to you? How did it change your life? That's an open conversation, I think, that is obviously very worthwhile having at this hour here. With all the challenges we are facing and continue to face as a people, our communities, and particularly Black men, what has changed? And in fact, in many respects, we have been targeted to forget the pledge that we took, targeted to assimilate into this other culture, this manosphere, right? This white male manosphere, which has contempt for everything and where all men are now victimized by women and by everything else going on in the world. It's a way to not take responsibility. We took it 30 years ago. as African-American men, 2 million on the mall. Remember, we ended the practice of the Park Service counting the crowd size because there was a dispute about what they counted. They think they wanted to say there was about 100,000 people out there. There was 2 million black men out there. So that ended that. The Park Service does not count anymore. So what are your remembrances? We got a call on. Let's get right to it. We'll get right going as we, Dr. Karinga is going to be joining us momentarily. Waiting on his camera to come up. Caller, God bless you. You're on the air. Welcome to Make It Plain.
It's you. They calling you long distance from Germany, man.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say that 30 plus years ago, I was there on the mall with those brothers who wanted to come together and put an end to the violence and the separation in our community.
Yes, sir.
I hope that we will
Rick, you all right?
No, I'm not all right, brother. I'm struggling to speak.
Well, don't hurt yourself, man. We got you. We hear you.
I just want to say that we did something beautiful on that day 30 years ago, and it should not be forgotten. It should not be erased. And
It should not be erased. It should not be erased as many other things are, is what I think you're trying to say.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Well, brother, we love you. Take care of your health, man, okay?
Thank you, brother, man.
All right. Take care now and enjoy your day. Folks, no stranger to Make It Plain, and we always are blessed to have him. He is the professor and chair of the Department of Africana Studies at California State University, Long Beach, an activist intellectual chair of the organization US and the National Association of Kawaida Organizations, executive director of the African American Cultural Center and the Kawaida Institute of Pan-African Studies. He is co-chair of the Black Community Clergy and Labor Alliance. He's also the author of numerous scholarly articles and books, including Kawaida and Questions of Life and Struggle, Ma'at, The Moral Ideal in Ancient Egypt, A Study in Classical African Ethics, Selections from the Husia, Sacred Wisdom of Ancient Egypt, Introduction to Black Studies, 4th edition, Odu Ifa, The Ethical Teachings. He's also the creator of the Pan-African Cultural Holiday Kwanzaa and the Nguza Saba, The Seven Principles, and author of the authoritative text titled Kwanzaa, A Celebration of Family, Community, and Culture. He is the subject of the book by Dr. Malefi Asante entitled Maulana Karinga, An Intellectual Portrait. And lastly, he is currently writing a major work on Haji Malcolm X entitled The Liberation Ethics of Haji Malcolm X, Critical Consciousness, Moral Grounding, and Transformative Struggle. And as I said earlier, he wrote a mission statement 30 years ago for the Million Man March. And he joins us as we get ready for this 30th anniversary. And it is also, we had him on a few weeks ago. We got started. We need to finish. This is part two, the 60th anniversary of the Nguza Saba themselves. So 30 years, 60 years, 60 years ago, he developed the Nguza Saba. 30 years ago, he developed the Million Man March mission statement. Dr. Maulana Karinga joins us on MIP on 89.3. Dr. Karinga, good morning. Early morning to you.
Good morning. Shubak Hedy, peace in the morning, my Samela, Reverend Mark Thompson. It's always good to see you and to talk about critical issues that face us as a people and indeed face this society in the world, because we are world-encompassing people, and we understand that from the teachings of not only Haji Malcolm X, who taught us so much about talking about how we fit in the world scheme of things, but also all our ancestors who taught us that we must, in fact, understand and engage the world. In fact, Nana, Dr. Mary McLeod-Bethune said to us that this is our duty. She said, our task is to remake the world. It's nothing less than this. And so we have to think in large ways. And that's why it's so important for Black men to come together and to remember who they are, that we come from a people that is the oldest people in the world, the elders of humanity, the fathers and mothers of not only humanity, though, but of human civilization, people who stood up first, spoke the first human truth, and introduced some of the basic discipline of human knowledge in the Nile Valley civilization. And people from around the world came to study there, to learn. And so we have a heavy burden to bear. I think, Nana, Dr. Mary McLeod-Bethune said, we are heirs and custodians of a great legacy. And we say we must bear the burden and glory of our this legacy with strength, dignity, and determination. There's glory in it, but there's also burden in it to lift up and to continue to struggle, to keep the faith, to hold the line on that which is good and beautiful and worthy of the highest of human values.
That raises a question at this very moment that comes to mind right now, Dr. Karenga, in all of your study of the Kawaida, the Oduifa, the Ma'at, the Nguza Saba. I mean, you have spent a lot of research and scholarship studying our the systems of our antiquity as African people.
Yeah.
Is it not culturally characteristic mm-hmm. of us as men not to be the dominant, but yet instead to be the responsible, to take on the burden for what is best for our people and our families? Isn't that a consistent strain throughout our African antiquity and culture?
Yes. And we must do it without patriarchy. We must know that we are protectors and providers, right? We have to do that. You know, we have to have a conception of our manhood that is not oppressive, that does not seek to stand on women's head in order to get height, but to be strong and tall in our own way, and to do it by the beautiful, loving, ethical, dignity-affirming, life-enhancing, and world-preserving way we assert ourselves in the world. And so we talk about what does it mean to be a man? And the first, of course, is to recognize that manhood is not a biological fact, but is a social and a moral one, and that we have to speak truth, do justice, care for the poor and the vulnerable, honor our elders and our ancestors, right? Cherish and challenge our children, right? To oppose all evil and oppression internally and externally, and to dare always to pursue, raise up, praise, and defend and promote the good. That's what we have to do. And this is what our ancestors teach us. And so I think it's very important for us not to let people redefine our roles. They can redefine the roles for themselves, but they must not and cannot define for us. We say our oppressor cannot be our teacher, and our allies cannot be our tutor. Neither our oppressor, our teacher, nor our allies, our tutor. We must reach inside our own self, speak our own special culture truth, make our own unique cultural contribution to how this world is reconceived and reconstructed. That's what we did. And 30 years ago, we called people to task about that. And we said that until Black men stand up, Black men and women can't stand together and wage a beautiful struggle to advance good in the world. A struggle we all need, the struggle to push back this wall of oppression that they have surrounded us with, right? And so I think it's very important for us to build community. And that's why it's important for us to know that we have to, first of all, you know, like doing that remembrance, if I can do that, if we can
please talk
about the Million Man March, so we're starting. First of all, let's give Minister Louis Farrakhan, great praise for having this idea, to pulling us together, and also for being flexible. When we came to him in Chicago and asked him to widen it and to encourage women also to preach, he was supportive of that, and nevertheless, remembering, and we support that. Men had to be at the heart of it, because it's men that were associated with not only all the major problems that people talked about, but also needed to take responsibility to solve these problems. So if you look at how the European does, the oppressive society, and this is a pathological society, pathological in that it's sick, but also pathogenic in that it produces sick people. And again, I think it's very important for us to understand that in the midst of the pathology of oppression, the only reliable remedy is struggle, resistance and struggle. And so I think, and also here, if I can just pause a minute and say, I want to understand when I use resistance, I'm not just talking about opposing the oppressor. There are three aspects to resistance from Kawita philosophy, my philosophy, out of which I created both Kwanzaa and Guzo Saba. Resistance is first opposition to oppression and oppressors. Second is affirmation of ourselves, our sacredness, our soulfulness, our dignity bearing and divine selves, right? And that means doing, pursuing and doing the best of what it means to be African and human in the world. And third, resistance is not only opposition to oppression and oppressors, not only affirmation of ourselves, but also aspiration for a new future, mm-hmm. a future that we can reimagine and forge in the most ethical, effective, and expansive way. A new world, as Nana Fanon says, starting a new history of humankind and producing a new man and woman to inhabit and continually build that new future. So I think it's very important for us to see that. So we came 30 years ago to do that. And Minister Farrakhan called us together. And so I give him credit for that. Second, I give credit to the Nation of Islam, who formed the basic structure for the process, right? And then, of course, I give credit to the local organizing committee. Those people, ordinary people, did extraordinary things in over 318 cities, forming local organizing committees to bring the 2 million you talked about to Washington, D.C., without one incident, without an incident, right? And like you said, change the history of how the people would count from then on. And also I give credit to the National Organizing Committee. You were on it. I was on. A lot of people were on it, too, was established to coordinate this on a national level. And finally, of course, I give credit to our people. First, the men who dared to come to practice three principles, atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility, to commit themselves to atone, to reconcile, and to be responsible in the world. Not responsible to the oppressor, but responsible to ourselves.
To talk to us about Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C.'s plans specifically for the 30th anniversary, the pastor, the illustrious pastor, the Honorable Chief Nana Kwajo Boafo, the first pastor of Union Temple Baptist Church, Reverend Willie F. Wilson joins us, and they've a lot of, I think a week of activities planned for Washington, D.C. Right, Rev, welcome to MIP on 89.3 WPFW.
That's right. We got a whole entire week, actually almost a whole month, because we started in September the 22nd, 29th, the 6th, and then the 13th. We have prayer every morning at 7 a.m. And if you could have just heard those prayers this morning, for example, all the different religions, everyone praying together, that's the spirit of the Million Man March that we want to recover, all of us coming together and recognizing the common cause that we all need to come together on, and that is the freedom, justice, equality, and liberation for our people and the unity of our people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, but let's let people know what is the schedule so they can get plugged in and involved right away, please.
All right. As we say, as I said, there is a phone call that has the capacity for 1,000 people to tune in. We'll be doing that again this Monday morning at 7 a.m. and then on the 13th at 7 a.m. of October. And that number, if I can give it, is 4848-220-3300. And then the ID is 36641#. So we started with the prayers. And then on October the 11th, we have our Monday, October the 11th, which is Indigenous American Day. We kick everything off with a torch run that highlights the history of Southeast Anacostia. And of course, I'm bringing this into the heart of the community in Anacostia, Southeast DC. We're highlighting our history and lighting up that history at a time when our history is trying to be totally erased. We're going to Barrack Farms, one of the most historic self-contained Black communities in America that was established around 1865, 66, then to the Anacostia Community Museum, which again is about to be shut down, and then to the Frederick Douglass Home, and then to the Union Temple Church, where much of the planning for the Million Man March took place. That's October the 11th. Then on the 16th, we're having a candlelight lighting up the spirit of the Million Man March, marching across the 11th Street Bridge into Anacostia, where our ancestors walked across that bridge to freedom in 1865. And then from there, after we walk across that bridge, that's on October the 16th, we gather at Union Temple, and that's going to be our storytelling night. Nation of Islam is showing a film, the true story of the Million Man March. And then individuals who were impacted by the Million Man March will tell stories of what happened. And because we've got two generations who know absolutely nothing about 1995. So, for example, the brother who started We Act Radio, he said when Brother Minister gave that call, Brother Minister Farrakhan gave that call for men to go back home and do something, he said, I was one of those people carjacking and robbing people, but that call sent me back to D.C. to found We Act radio station. So he'll be talking about that. Others will be talking about experiences they had during that time. Then on the 17th, is a day of fasting and prayer. Now on the 16th, also we're going over to Baltimore to share with the brothers and sisters there in Baltimore. They're having a unity prayer breakfast. Some of us are going over to share with them, even as we are in a day of remembrance and commemoration. And then on the 18th is our big day. We're bringing about our religious community, national organizations, local community organizations, and we're giving a flavor of UniFest, because UniFest and the Million Man March both spoke to unity, community, atonement, reconciliation, bringing our community together. So we have those two iconic legacies coming together. I'm going to give them a little taste of our culture. We have gospel music, we have go-go music, and we have an array of speakers representing our community and our people coming together in unity under the spiritual direction of reconciliation and responsibility, as Brother Marlana Karinga talked about a moment ago, as we share in that whole spirit of coming together in unity to make a difference. We have some after-event activities going on. We're not going to depend on the government to teach our history. They never have. They never will. We're organizing in our churches, in our organizations, to teach our own history by Zoom. We have some of our educators working on that and other events that will be taking place after the Million Man March, so that we re-engender that spirit of the Million Man March.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, folks, these are all the events that are taking place in D.C. If people go to the Union Temple website, Rev, can they see everything that is planned, see the whole schedule?
They can see the whole schedule. All they have to do is go to Union Temple website, and all the information is right there so that they can participate in all of these events. And that torch run, we've got stations along the way, and people will be gathering at each of those stations, and it's just going to be a great event. And so they can go right to Union Temple website with all the information of what is going to be happening during the week.
Folks, you, those of you, and this is WPFW, so we're back on local radio. We definitely want people in the locale, in the DMV to participate in all of the events. And you can go to Union Temple, D.C. To find out more about everything that's going on. Please, I would like, in the moments remaining, at least for our brothers to greet one another, Reverend Willie Wilson and Dr. Maulana Karenga. You both are on together.
Yes.
Reverend Wilson.
Yes, my brother.
Good to see you. Good to hear your voice.
Absolutely.
Good to meet for this 30th year commemoration.
Yes.
Of good work in the world.
Yes,
and
sir.
That's what we're commended and commanded to do good in the world and let no good be lost, right?
Yes.
And so when we remember, we prevent the good from being lost. And we honor and practice the morality of remembrance that Nana Fanilu Hema told us when she said there are two things we all should care about. Never to forget where we came from, and always praise the bridges that carried us over. So that's what we're doing in the reenacting and remembering of this historic event. And thank you so much for the role you played in it.
Well, thank you, my brother, for the role you played in it. That great writing that you gave to all of us, it still redounds in all of our minds and hearts, and hopefully and prayerfully, all of the people who come across the length and breadth of this nation as they have commemorations will look at that document and try to glean from that spirit that you put into it that really talks about how we come together and unify as a people.
It's so important. And thanks so much for giving me the honor for the organizing National Organizing Committee, giving me the honor to summarize the ideas that y'all put on the table. Because that's what it is, a summary of our thoughts around the table. And that's what we always want to do, to come together. You know the scriptures say how good it is for brothers
how good
to
it is.
Together and dwell in unity. So that's so important for us to do that.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So, folks, Union Temple DC is the website. Go there. Get all the details. For those of you listening on WPFW in Washington, D.C., in the DMV, these are your events in your area. All right. And you'll be hearing from us during the course of the week about other events taking place in other areas. But Reverend Willie Wilson is at the helm in Union Temple, at the helm of what is taking place and reviving the spirit of the Million Man March and the local organizing committee. I bet if Donald Trump knew I was going to have you, the two of you, on radio in D.C. this morning, he sent National Guard back in.
That's right.
Because the two of you on here, maybe, I don't know, maybe this wasn't a good idea, but anyway.
Let's know if you get any pushback.
That's right. I certainly will. So, Rev, we appreciate you and what you're doing. Who else could have been called to do this in BC but Rev Willie Wilson? So, Rev, congratulations on what you're doing. And sisters and brothers, it's so important that we do this. So spread the word in BC. Tell people to go to Union Temple and go to the website and see what's going on right there in your own backyard, okay?
That's real.
Thank you, Rev.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right. Take care. Be blessed.
Bless you, Doctor.
Bless you. Bless
you. All right. Bye-bye. Reverend Willie Wilson, we're back here with Dr. Karenga, and glad to have him back with us. And you were actually wrapping up your other remarks with regards to why we are doing this. And folks, as Reverend Wilson alluded to and I alluded to earlier, Dr. Karenga drafted the original mission statement, and we have a new draft. We're going to get that out. We're putting some finishing touches on it. We want everything to be just right. And we're going to put that out this week, and we're going to put it up on the Unified website, the original one from 30 years ago and the current one.
That's right.
So that we need to be knowledgeable and educated about all the things we've had to face and overcome in these past 30 years and what challenges still exist 30 years later. 202-588-0893. But now want to transition smoothly. There really isn't much of a transition or much of a delineation, because the principles and the mission of the Million Man March 30 years ago and today coincide and intersect with the principles of the Nguza Saba, which is 60 years old. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to turn the floor back over to Dr. Karinga so he can expound upon that. And he is, I mean, he is a professor, by the way. And so it's important sometimes that we have people act or carry out their work in the lane in which they are called. And we do well to hear from the good professor today about this intersection and where we are from 60, where we've come from, whence we've come 60 years ago and 30 years ago. Dr. Karinga, please.
Yeah. So we were founded. I founded the organization US in 1965, September the 7th. I called a group of people to my house, apartment, on La Brea here in Los Angeles, to ask, where do we go from here? In the wake of the August revolt, in the midst of the Black liberation struggle, how do we contribute to advance our people's struggle? And so US was born in the fires and furnace of the struggles in the 60s, and it bears that character to it. It's a liberational organization. It's an organization that seeks to practice cultural revolution, radical political transformative struggle, and a deep and irreversible commitment to bring a shared and inclusive good in the world. Our oppressor wants an exclusive good for himself, but our struggle has always been to bring a shared and inclusive good in the world that represents US Africans and human good shared and the well-being of the world and all in it. Those are fundamental principles to US, and we have not moved away from that. One of the things we talk about is unbudging Blackness that is rooted in our own culture, right? That many people ask other cultures what to do, how to go forward, how to marry, how to raise the children. But we ask Africa, we say, what does Africa have to say about this? We can't claim that we're wrong and that we do all these things and that we have the greatest civilization in human history and then not borrow from it and build on the best of our culture, both ancient and modern, though, both continental and the U.S., right? And the diaspora in general. So I just want people to understand that. And so I wrote my column this week on, last week on in the Sentinel. I write a weekly column in the LA Sentinel. And I had said there's something to be said and learned from an organization that has lasted 60 years, 240 seasons, we said, right? And having done these things, one, number one, wage struggle in the midst of the most serious suppression ever, to actually not simply survive, but to develop in spite of government oppression, putting US in captivity on trumped up charge, right? Driving US in exile, driving US underground, right? So these things we would not give in to. We would not be defeated. The second is that we survived and prevailed over character assassination, right? Not only government suppression with COINTELPRO, but character assassination that the European put out there and that his hirelings and handmaidens, right, also talked about, right? But we not only survived that, we prevailed over that, and we built a 60-year history of service, work, struggle, and institution building. And of course, most people know US for Kwanzaa and Nguzo Saba, but we've helped plan health centers, housing projects, like we named Ujima Housing Project. We conceived that. And of course, Amini Baraka, who was one time a part of the Kawita movement, he built on that idea, Ujima, and argued for the Kawita Towers in Newark. And now, of course, with his son, he's getting it done. But we did it in the 60s. I'm just telling you, we build models and mirrors, models to emulate, mirrors by which we measure ourselves, right? And one of the things that we've done that has been so lasting, and I can talk about that also, you know, the Brotherhood Crusade, a funding organization, helped build and the National Black United Front efforts, right, that are in the country. We contributed to the reparations movement. We contributed to the Pan-African movement, supporting Africa for building institutions that link us, right? And so we have been active since the 60s, and we, as the Christians say, ain't no ways to hide. And so we continue to struggle, keep the faith, hold the line for that which is good in the world. And I think it's very important for us to note about Kwanzaa and the Good of the South. We take it kind of, you know, sometimes we take it for granted, but just think about it, that Kwanzaa and Nguzo Saba, which, you know, created out of my philosophy, Kawida, and I'll talk about that in a minute because that undergirds everything we do, is that Kwanzaa and Nguzo Saba unites us as African people on every continent in the world, throughout the world, African community, in ways no other practice or philosophy does. Just think about it now. On Kwanzaa, millions of people on every continent in the world are celebrating Kwanzaa and practicing and referring to the Nguzo Saba and also doing what we said Kwanzaa represents. First of all, the ingathering of the people to reaffirm the beauty of the bond between them, right? A time to celebrate and give special attention to creation and creator, and to be thankful for the world, for the earth itself, and the abundance it produces, and to have an environmentally sensitive a consciousness, right? Because it comes out of harvest celebrations, and it thanked the creator for the creation that gave us this abundance. And then third, the time to raise and praise the name of our ancestors, those who gave us the wherewithal to struggle and to learn and to do good in the world. Those who stood up and spoke truth for us and taught us to walk in the way of righteousness, right? Those who told us to relate rightfully, to act justly, and to walk gently in the world. Those beautiful people like that. So we celebrate them. We call the name of the great one. The great ones who were, we always say, who were so tall, when they stood up, they were the heights of mountains. And when they lay down, they were the lengths of rivers. But also the ordinary and extraordinary people, our mothers and fathers, our sisters and brothers, you know, those elders who are gone now, and the neighbors who taught us the righteous way that our ancestors taught them to walk upward and forward, right? To always, always embrace and pursue the good. And then, of course, it's time to embrace and hold up the best of our values. Values that we say the Nguzo Saba were at the heart of that. Umoja, unity, Kujichagulia, self-determination, Ujima, collective work and responsibility, Ujamaa, cooperative economics, Nia, purpose, Kuumba, creativity, and Imani, faith. And we say that they are bookend. You got Umoja at the beginning, you got faith at the end. Umoja because, guess what? Without unity, nothing is possible. Friendships are not possible. Family is not possible. You know, a school is not possible. Anything we need, do, we have to have unity. That's the first principle, right? We come into world as humans by doing what? Unifying, right? Coming together, Black men and women, right? So I think it's very important for us to understand that no matter what else is developed, never move from that central position of who we are and what we are, right? Again, our oppressor cannot be our teacher and our allies cannot be our tutors. We must speak our own special culture truth. Think, as Haji Malcolm said, with our own mind. Speak with our own mouth. Think deeply and constantly about good for the world. And so I think it's vermin. Then we have faith as the last principle, because we do get tired. There's a lot of things going on, you know, and we have to have faith in the righteousness and victory of our cause, of our struggle, that this is right what we're doing, that the struggle to expand the realm of human freedom and justice and equality and other goods in the world, that that's right, that people have a right to live without fear, to live in safety and security, to have housing, to have insurance, to have health care, to have a quality education, to have a constant income. People have a right to that. This is right. They have a right to clean water, right? They have a right to live a good and meaningful life. And we have to struggle for that. We say struggle is the most one of the most defining features of the human personality. I've said this before, I say it again. Struggle is one of the most defining features of the human personality. We struggle to come into being. That's called birth. We struggle to make the most out of being. That's called life. And we struggle not to go out of being. That's called the quest for immortality. So we struggle, and we know that. And I want, just closing up, I wanted to say that one of the things that's important for us is, and us teaches this in our Africanness, using Africa as a moral idea, the highest idea. And one of the things that our ancestors teach us, may the good they left last forever, is that we are a soulful, sacred, resilient, and resourceful people. And I always like to pay homage to three of our deep thinking and active ancestors who say to us, first, Nana Howard Thurman, we are people that ride the storm and remain intact. Second, Nana Gwen Brooks, who tell us we are people that conduct our blooming in the noise and whip of the whirlwind. And Nana Barron, that tells us we are people that specialize in the holy impossible. That's the kind of people we are. And we come to the table, not naked and in need, but fully clothed in our own culture, able to speak our own special culture truth and make our own unique contribution to how this world, this society, our communities are reconceived and reconstructed in the most positive and dignity-affirming, life-enhancing, and world-preserving way. Those three things are important, that everything we do is, one, dignity-affirming, second, life-enhancing, and third, world-preserving.
What a beautiful and articulate expression from Dr. Kuring. First of all, quick calls, folks, in the moments remaining, which we have about 14 minutes, you know, right now, 202-588-0893. That's number one. Number two, Dr. Kuringa, and maybe I'm too hopeful or visionary or idealistic, I don't know. But what you have been able to record and study and document is the logical extension of our cumulative struggle, as Dr. Ron Walters always used the term cumulative struggle.
Yes. Yeah. May the good he left last forever.
That's right, right. And so there are things that you have found and researched and discovered that even some of the very ancestors you named had not been introduced to yet. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that, and if we just focus on the 60 years ago, if some of our servant leaders had not been taken out by the U.S. government, I can't help but think that they would have continued on a journey where they would have availed themselves of too. I remember, for example, when Dr. King gave his last SCL speech after, mm-hmm. you know, kind of putting the concept of Black power at arm's length from him. Mm-hmm. By the time of that last speech, he's like, you know, I understand what it means to be Black. He was using the term Black, transitioning from Negro. And then he even said before he died that riots were the language of the unheard. And so I think that people like him and even his mentor, Howard Thurman, all we had at that time mm-hmm. was an educational system that was still rooted in whiteness and Eurocentrism. But if they had had the opportunity to have been availed themselves of the knowledge that you and many of our other scholars like you have found, mm-hmm. I just wonder if they, I like to believe they would, that Dr. King would have embraced the Nguza Saba. Mm-hmm. And Malcolm, even as a Muslim, you're writing the book on that, would have embraced all of it. How could they not? Because when you're in this struggle, it inevitably, once you open certain doors, they can't be closed. It is a progression of knowledge and information that leads to a liberation and revolution. Is that is my theory on that? You think out?
What we do is build on the past, right? Mm. We say this is our duty to know our past and honor it, to engage our present and improve it, and to imagine a whole new future and to forge it in the most ethical, effective, and expansive way. So yes, I do believe Dr. King would have embraced Nguzo Saba. In fact, they used to be, I haven't been there in a long time, but the Nguzo Saba used to be in the King Center, right? And people used to teach it. And I was a part of a Black family, a national African-American family, a leadership group of which she was a member of. We talked often. She said that some of the work I was doing reflected the work and aspirations of her husband. She wrote me a letter for that. I prized that letter. So that's it. And I build on. When I first, now, I'm going to be honest, when we were doing the 60s, we criticized Dr. King. But as I got older and as I began to study and link, I saw that we needed both Haji Malcolm and Nana King. Nana King and Nana Malcolm, they were creative tension. And I don't, in my new book, I don't try to make them alike. They're different, but they both speak a beautiful truth about what it means to be African and human in the world, right? And that's the beauty of our culture, unity and diversity, unity without uniformity, unity and principle, purpose, and practice. That's the beauty of it. And also, I build on the ancestors. One of the most important things we say about Kawaida, Kawaida's a philosophy that I began to create while I was a master's and doctoral student at UCLA, and actually all through my college, even at LACC, where I went first. And then I continued it. But one of the things that we say about Kawaida, Kawaida is defined as an ongoing synthesis of the best of African sensitivities, thought, and practice in constant exchange with the world. So I try as best I can to ask, what are the best sensitivities, the moral sensitivities, the aesthetic sensitivities that we have as human beings, as African people? What are our best thinking on things? What is our best practices on things? This is what I try to do. And I try to then present them in a codified, structured way so that we can learn the lessons and live them. How can we best honor our ancestors except learning the lessons and living the legacy they left us? To learn the lesson and live the legacy they left us. So you're very right. And one of the things I was thinking as you were talking, I'm always linking the two things. So we're getting ready for the meeting, man, Marshall. I'm thanking you and the people on our team that are working with you for that. And I was thinking about, in Kawaida and in the Million Man March statement and pledge, just think about what we commit ourselves to be the Black man that we think is the best of what it means to be African and human, to draw from, as the mission statement says, to draw from the best of our faith tradition, the best ethical thinking and practices. And it means for us to heal, not harm, to build, not break up and tear down and destroy. It means to love and uplift, not hate and pull down. It means to practice unity, not division and self-injuring deceit. It means to be protectors and mentors, not predators and abusers. It means to be respectful and reaffirming with each other, not disrespectful and dignity denying. And it means to be partners, not opponents, in this beautiful and demanding struggle to know ourselves, to know our past and honor it, to engage our present and improve it, and to imagine a whole new future and to forge it in the most ethical, effective, and expansive ways. And that links us throughout history, right? To love and uplift. Right, to heal, right, to repair, to renew, to remake, ourselves in the process and practice of repairing, renewing, and remaking the world that injures us. Right? That's beautiful us. And I think we need to always remember that. And I wanted to say also that our ancestors, even what I'm talking now, they knew without knowing. You know why? Because inherent in everything I teach, it comes from a general culture called African. And even though I might present it in another way, it still represents that value. For example, unity, even though that's the first principle of Nkosi Saba, where did I get it from? I just don't drop from the sky. They don't grow from the ground. They don't float in from the sea. They come from the culture in which you are. And this culture gave me that, but I put it in a different way. I structured it. It's just like people who did the Eightfold Path of Buddha or the Ten Commandments, right? Or any other thing. They take that culture that they have, they organize it and present it in a way that's accessible and that speaks to the best of what it means to be whoever they are in human. And so that's what we do. And it's a beautiful thing because we, as I said before, begin it all. We are the ancient one. We are the elders. We are the fathers and mothers of humanity and human civilization. And that's a beautiful, although burdensome, role to play. But it's a good burden, and we bear it well if we're the men and women we say we are.
No, and it is, even your very words and expressions represent beauty. You know, sometimes folks think that those of us are who they define as hardline nationalists and revolutionaries, we can't talk about love and beauty.
We got
that's you. What it is.
That's you it. Know,
the most revolutionary act is love.
I'm and sorry, there it is. We have to face that. Because without that, we can't build a pardon, build a fighting for it. We can't do what we need to do. And that is to merge, to unify, and to become a self-conscious, to become self-conscious agents of our own life and liberation.
I remember Kwame Ture used to often say, you can't serve a people you don't love.
Hey,
you know, and that's a word. And so, and as you all know, I say this from where I sit, I'm on seminary grounds. Now, Dr. Karenga's expertise, his PhDs, his degrees are not in theology. But he has given us a form of theology for our people. In other words, there is love in our care and concern and our standing up for one another.
Massimella?
Yes.
My second doctorate is in religion and social ethics, mainly social ethics. But so I do know theology. I do know I teach ethics more for the same reason I'm very influenced by Nana Haji Malcolm, right? So. Haji Malcolm said, I'm a Muslim, but when I come to meet with you, I don't use my theology to divide us. I ask, what is the ethical grounds we can unite on? Now, these are my words, but this is how I interpret him. Because he said, I put my religion,
over,
right? I leave it there, and I ask you, what can we unite around, right? So I'm not going to have a theological argument with people, right? What I'm going to do is challenge them to bring forth the best of their faith, right? Which teaches us to love each other, to care for each other. We introduce, as African people, the very concept of human dignity, without which there's no concept of human rights. Human dignity is a foundation for human rights. The narrative of Jetty tells the pharaoh, Khufu, you cannot experiment on or kill even a nameless prisoner, for even that nameless prisoner is a noble image of God, a noble image of God. And so here he teaches dignity. And Keti, in the Hosea, the sacred text of ancient, Keti, Pharaoh Keti, says to his son Merikara, right, that well cared for.
1 minute.
Flock of God. He cared for them. They are in his image and came from his very person. So we're in the image of God, and we are bearers of dignity. So we gave the world these concepts, right? So we must understand that there's no revolutionary struggle without respecting the dignity and divinity, the inherent rights of all human beings. But let's not forget ourselves. Sometimes people get so excited about loving other people, they forget to love themselves. Or they learned and inculcated the hate taught by the dominant society.
20 seconds.
And they can love everybody but themselves. So let me just say, continue to struggle. Keep the faith moving line.
Don't go away, Dr. Carriga. Don't you go away. Folks, we love you. MIP on 89.3. Stay tuned for more on the Million Man March. Check social media. Minister with two T's. Facebook, make it plain. We're going to have more information this week all around the country. We love Dr. Carriga and we appreciate him. Stay tuned for more on 9.3 FM WPFW.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.